Officials leading the fight against performance-enhancing drug use in sports say the next 3 days in Copenhagen could be crucial. That's the site of the World Conference on Doping in Sport. Delegates have gone to Denmark to vote on a new international anti-doping code that proponents say would make it much easier to clean up worldwide competition. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
For those fighting drugs in international sport, the syringe and the pill are the obvious enemies, while less dramatic, inconsistent anti-drug regulations have been just as powerful a foe. Take the extreme example of bicycle racing's greatest event, the three-week-long Tour de France, where racers pass through several different countries, each with its own doping rules.
The same rider in the same race over the course of 3 days could be subjected to tests by six different testing agencies and six different laws.
Dick Pound is the head of the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA.
You've got situations where, you know, somebody gets tested positive for steroids in one country and gets a six-month suspension, whereas in other countries it could be 4 years or life.
Different punishments, different lists of banned drugs, says Pound, have led to a great deal of confusion.
Confusion that allows people to take advantages of loopholes.
But Pound says drug cheats won't be able to escape punishment after WADA's World Anti-Doping Code is approved this week in Copenhagen. It's the first serious attempt to harmonize drug testing and sanctions in Olympic and international sports. It's expected delegates will adopt the code. If so, there will be one list of prohibited drugs, the same level of drug testing around the world, and the same punishment, 2 years for a serious offense, a lifetime ban for a second drug violation. The code gives some leeway for an athlete who takes a banned substance by mistake. Most Olympic sports federations support the sanctions, but two of the most powerful do not. Cycling and soccer oppose the two-year ban. Among their concerns, the highly paid pro athletes in those sports will challenge drug suspensions in court. University of Texas professor John Hoberman is a longtime historian of doping in sport. He's not surprised cycling and soccer are grumbling, since he says the two sports are rife with drug problems at the elite levels. If the two federations refuse to sign on, Hoberman says the anti-doping code won't have as much impact, but he thinks it's more important for Dick Pound not to compromise on the tough sanctions. Instead, says Hoberman, Pound should enforce the code's Olympic ban on sports that don't comply with the new rules.
Why should soccer or cycling be essential to an Olympic program, especially if they are thumbing their noses at the first real international agreement to control doping among elite athletes that has a chance?
There are other potential disputes in Copenhagen. A number of European sports ministers are upset the code merely encourages and doesn't require professional sports leagues in the United States to accept the new anti-doping rules. For most, however, that's a future issue to explore. Right now, the goal is getting the code adopted by Olympic and international sports and having it in place by next year's Summer Olympics in Athens. Then, in Dick Pound's brave new world of doping control, the world's governments will adopt the code by the 2006 Winter Games and give all the pessimists out there a reason to believe the fight against performance-enhancing drugs is not as futile as it often seems. Tom Goldman, NPR News.